All right, good morning. Welcome to King's Cross. Why don't we start this morning by just turning to our neighbor and giving them a greeting. Introduce yourself to somebody new. All right, so today we want to talk a little bit about this idea of busyness. And we live in a society today that celebrates and in many ways glorifies busyness. I was reading a lot of newspaper articles in kind of preparation the last couple of weeks to see how busyness is so kind of entrenched in our society. One New York Times article, the title itself tells you, it says, "How Busyness Becomes a Status Symbol Today." And it links kind of our value, our self-worth, maybe in the business world, with how busy we are. Another article that I read says, "Why Being Too Busy Makes Us Feel So Good." And in this article, the author explores the reasons why we stay busy. And there's something that happens that kind of makes us get addicted to feeling busy, makes us feeling good. This week in the classroom, I teach at a university, and I was discussing with some of my advertising and marketing students. We looked at a short video. It was a four-minute video done by Nike. And kind of the premise was they hired a really famous film director, a YouTube star. If you guys know him, Casey Neistat. And it's one of the most viewed Nike commercials online. And what they did was they hired him. They gave him a big budget. And they said, "We've got this new product." And, you know, the concept is kind of challenging yourself, doing more things. So he was storyboarding. So the story goes, he was storyboarding, trying to think of this film to make as an advertisement for Nike. And then what he decided to do kind of on the last minute, on a whim, was he said, you know, instead of making a story, instead of making it a traditional advertisement, what he was going to do was he was going to take that budget that Nike had given him, and him and a friend were going to jump on the first plane and try to do as many things as they could traveling around the world. So wherever the plane took them, they would hang out there for a little bit, do as many things that they could there, and they would just film the whole experience. So it became one of the most viral Nike ads. And then, you know, he's going all over the world from country to country. And then at the end of the advertisement, you see him laying in a tattoo shop, and he gets a tattoo right across his forearm, really big. And it says, "Do more." Right? And I think that tattoo kind of speaks to our generation. To, you know, it kind of resonates with us to go out, do more things. Don't be so static. He's got another tattoo, actually, Casey Neistat. On his other hand, it says, "Work harder." Success in life can be achieved by hard work. We all know that. And he would argue that natural talent is overrated. But what really matters is that grit, that determination to do more things, to work harder, to stay busy. So it's easy to see that today, being busy is one of the most celebrated things in society. We know that living here in Korea, don't we? And I think most of us would agree that to be successful, you need to do more things. You need to work harder. A lot of us come from a generation where we are, you know, our parents immigrated to another country, and we saw firsthand how hard they worked to kind of get to a place where they were comfortable and a place where they could kind of raise us. You know, not only Casey Neistat, but, you know, countless stories in society. You know, another article I read was, you know, a billionaire, you guys know him, Elon Musk. What he does is he takes a sleeping bag into the production line of his Tesla cars just to make sure that production is on schedule. Sleeping in a factory, in a sleeping bag. See, as I talk, many of you guys are busy. And you guys can relate somewhat to this idea. But you know, being busy has a lot of negative impacts too. The amount of stress we have, the amount of anxiety, the amount of trouble we feel. You know, it's interesting. We are one of the busiest, we live in one of the busiest times in history. But at the same time, we live in a time where we have the most cases of anxiety. People are so worried about different things. But in the midst of all of this busyness, have you ever stopped to reflect why you're so busy? Or like me, do you just kind of get caught up in the flood and the flow of busyness? See, as I get older, one thing I start to realize is that, you know, when there's something in our life kind of taking over, it's good to kind of take a pause and to try to examine what the root is. Why are we so busy? And that's what I'm hoping to do today. Getting to the root of busyness and seeing some of the implications by opening up God's word and seeing how scripture tells a story about busyness. So if you guys have a Bible, let's open up our Bibles to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at chapter 10. The last month, we've been going through a series in Luke. And you know, I don't think it's coincidence that we're staying in Luke for this last message. And the last month, we've been looking at a story of two brothers. But today, we're going to look at a story of two sisters. So let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And let's pay careful attention to God's word. If you guys need a Bible, our Connect team has a couple of Bibles. So they'll walk around. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We would love to give you one. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so today, in today's text, I just want to kind of move through this story and make three observations. Number one, we want to kind of look at the characters. Who are the characters? Number two, what's the problem? Okay, we want to kind of identify what the problem is in this story. And number three, how is it resolved? Okay, so kind of just three basic observations as we go through the story. So let's start at the first point. Who are the characters? Every good story has characters, right? And right off the back, if we look at verses 38 and 39, let me read it for us one more time. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha, character number one, we've got a woman named Martha, welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. There's an immediate, I think, for the readers to see a comparing and a contrasting that's supposed to happen. We're supposed to look at these characters and kind of try to make a decision. And the question that kind of is in the back of our mind is, which sister is the model character, kind of the one that Jesus is highlighting for us to follow today? Okay, so which sister is it? Well, on one hand, we have Martha. She has welcomed Jesus into her home, showing great hospitality, a willingness to serve. Now, in the ancient Near East, during the first century, during the time of Jesus, to welcome someone into your home, especially an honored guest like a teacher or maybe a prophet, or some said Jesus was the Messiah, was a big thing. Now, you can imagine, maybe when you were young and a special guest came to your home, the amount of work your parents did. This was a big thing for Martha to take on. And she does exactly what is expected of her. And she begins to serve, showing hospitality. On the other hand, we've got Mary. And the text describes her as sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. Now, I think in our context, maybe we'll come away with the feeling that, hey, you know, Martha's kind of a hard worker, Mary is lazy, but, you know, what's the big deal? We kind of miss a little bit of the scandal that's taking place here. Again, in the ancient Near East, in the first century, for a woman to be sitting at the feet of a well-known teacher was scandalous. You guys could imagine today, in places in the Middle East, 2,000 years later, that women are still fighting for, in some places, their right to an education. Now imagine 2,000 years ago, for Mary to be sitting at the feet, listening to the teachings of a famous rabbi. The audience that Luke is writing to at the time, they were shocked. They were taken aback. And it became very clear to them, at least, which character was the model character. It was Martha. She's working hard, she's serving, she's doing what she's supposed to do. And then on the other hand, we've got Mary, who's breaking all the social norms and all the rules of society. She's sitting at the feet of a famous teacher and listening. See, I think we could relate, even 2,000 years, with that first audience that heard this story. Because to us, again, like in the introduction, we are a society that celebrates hard work and busyness, right? So I think our natural instinct is to side with Martha. Living in Korea, we know what it is to work hard, long hours. I was reading, this was a few years ago, I like telling this story, but one of the busiest seasons in Korea, especially for women, is during the holidays, during Chuseok, right? In Korea, women are expected during Chuseok from morning to night to work, preparing food for guests and family. It is very laborious work if you've ever, you know, spent time with a Korean family during Chuseok. There was an interesting article in the Korean Times a few years ago. And the article, the basic main idea of the article was during Chuseok, the price and the sale of fake casts and slings would skyrocket. It's pretty funny, right? Women were so tired of working and, you know, maybe working with their, you know, their in-laws. And they had that expectation of working that they would fake like they were injured. And prices online of fake casts and slings, the sales skyrocketed. One blogger in this article, I found the article, was quoted, and this is what she says. "I don't want to use this ruse, but I fully understand why some women would use fake casts. I hate this terrible holiday culture that exploits women with men, taking it for granted that women will do all the household chores." Okay? So again, the observation that I want to make is that we know what it is to be a busy society. And again, I think we can agree that all signs are pointing towards Martha being the model character of this story. But here's where it gets interesting. At the end of this passage, why does Jesus say at the end of this passage that Mary, she is chosen right? And he makes her the model character. You guys sense that tension? What is Mary doing that is so right that Jesus is pointing to her as kind of the model character in this story? See, if we take Jesus' words to be true, then we usually would deduce something like this. Well, Martha, I guess she was wrong because she was just too busy. And in an application that would follow, And I've said this a lot of times, this advice I'd given a lot of times, would be something like this. We need to stop being so busy, and we need to find rest in Jesus this week. Right? How many of you guys have heard something like that before? Right? Now, that's good advice. But there's a little bit of tension that still exists with that advice. Because if you look in Scripture, Jesus actually praises oftentimes hard work and being busy. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 10, where this story is the last story in a series of different stories, the other stories in that chapter actually highlight serving and hard work. The first story in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Sending more workers to do work because there's not enough. Later in chapter 10, there's a story then of Jesus actually doing that. The sending of 72 disciples into the field, working, doing miracles, serving and advancing the kingdom of God, right? And then they come back and they've got these stories of kind of great things that has happened. And then right before this story, Jesus is sitting and he's teaching, and a religious leader of the time comes up to him and asks him, "Jesus, what do I need to get eternal life?" And Jesus' response is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, but also to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the leader asks him, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then Jesus again tells this story of the Good Samaritan, of where an enemy serves and loves and works for his neighbor, right? So you could see kind of like the progression that's going on. And then when we get to this story, you would expect again that Martha is the moral, the good character. But Jesus says no. And it's not because Jesus, I would argue that Jesus is not condemning Martha's busyness. But what he really wants to reveal is something about her heart. Busyness is just a symptom. Jesus is concerned with the root problem. So why is Martha so busy? Why are we so busy? Let's go on. Let's look at the second section. What is the problem? So the next verses read like this. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" Look at some of the things that the author, Luke, and some of the things that Jesus observe about Martha. The first word that they use to describe her is distracted. Again, so if we look at kind of, you know, distracted is a good word and a good translation, but if we look at the actual original manuscripts and we look at the Greek, it has a little bit of a deeper meaning. The actual Greek word there means being pulled in a direction, maybe to be pulled apart, being pulled in many directions. That's the idea. Martha was so being pulled in many directions with her serving. So she's being pulled in many directions. Number two, she's irritable. She's described as angry, as complaining, maybe a little self-righteous. She's anxious and she's troubled. Now, let me ask you guys a question today. How many of you guys feel pulled in many directions? Irritable, angry, complaining, anxious, and troubled. Yeah. Probably a lot of you guys can relate, and a lot of you guys feel that way. See, I think these symptoms are pointing to a bigger problem with Martha, not just her busyness, but really the motivation, the heart. Her root problem, Jesus is trying to address, and I believe it's tied with the question of why. Why is she so busy? Why are we so busy? It's a question that we should all ponder a little bit. It's a question that digs kind of deep at our identity and at what we value. You know, some of you guys may say, "I'm so busy, you know, because, you know, I want to be successful." Maybe wealth and success is kind of at the first layer of the root of your busyness. If you dig a little bit deeper, you'll see that there's fear and there's a yearning for security. Maybe others may say, you know, it's the right thing to do. Maybe you're just used to being good, a good Christian, a good parent, a good student, a good son, a good daughter. That's kind of what is expected of you. But why? Why are you doing those things? I read an interesting article. It was in a psychology journal, and it was titled, "Are You Addicted to Being Busy?" And the author highlights a couple of interesting things. Number one, busy people are usually busy because they want to numb themselves from the problems in their lives. It's a form of escape. Maybe it's a difficult marriage, difficult situation at home. Maybe your parents are getting older and you don't know what to do. Maybe it's just direction in life. And you don't want to think about these things, and you fill your time with busyness. She gets to the core, and she says, more than that, at the core, it has to deal with our feeling of worth. And this is what she says. She says, we feel unworthy, unaccepted, unlovable, unless we are overachieving. Let me say that again. She says, at the core, a lot of the times is, we feel unworthy, unaccepted, unlovable, unless we are overachieving. You see, why it's so important to start to get to the root of why we are so busy. See, at the core, all of us have innate human desires. And these desires are desires like security, acceptance, being valued, being loved, feeling worthy. And a lot of us try to meet these desires by doing more, by being busy. You know, in my personal life, I'll share a little bit about my life with you guys. I have a real problem of being busy. You could ask Pastor Sungmin. I think I frustrate him the most with my busyness. I mean, last semester alone, I was working almost 4 jobs. Who works that many jobs? Full-time at a university, full-time finishing my contract at an academy. And then I would leave my academy at like 10 o'clock. I would go and tutor a student from 11 to 12:30 sometimes because that student was preparing to go to an international school in Hawaii. And wake up in the morning at, you know, 8 o'clock, do it all over again. And then you throw in serving at church. And I was so burnt out. And I had to ask myself that question a lot. Why? Why do you have to do? Sungmin asked me all the time, why? Why are you doing this to yourself? And I would have to ask myself that too. I would think, why? You know, and through the help of counseling and kind of reflection, I realized that, you know, one of the reasons is that at my core, I feel the most valued, the most accepted, the most loved when I'm busy. When I talk to my parents on the phone, I love to tell them how busy I am. It's the truth. I love to tell them how busy I am, number one, because if I'm busy, they'll understand why I don't call them so much. I'm a bad son. But number two, because when I tell them I'm busy, my mom and my dad love to hear about it. I mean, their voice changes and they become really proud. And to be honest, I never feel more loved or more accepted by my dad than in those moments when I hear him praise me for being busy. See, I've got a deep desire to be accepted and loved and to be valued. What about you? This is the bad news, though. That busyness, working harder, doing more will never satisfy our deepest longings, our deepest human desires. And I think that's what Jesus is pointing out about Martha. Bertrand Russell, he's a Nobel Prize winner. He makes an interesting observation on humans. He says, man differs from other animals in one very important respect, and that is, he has some desires which are, so to speak, so infinite that they can never fully be gratified. He gives us an illustration in nature. He says, you see a snake, a boa constrictor, when he's had an adequate meal, he goes to sleep and he doesn't wake again until he needs another meal. But he says, humans are not like this. We constantly want more. He gives another example of when he took in some Estonian girls that narrowly escaped death from starvation and a famine, and he took them in and they lived with his family. And he said they had plenty to eat, but they spent their free time going to the neighbor's land, stealing potatoes from their neighbor, and hoarding them. See, even when we have enough, even when we stay busy, our desires are not fully satisfied. See, isn't this Martha's core problem too? She is busy. She wants to feel valued. She wants to feel important. And she expects that Jesus is on her side when she complains. But you see, the ironic part is that Jesus is right there in front of her, and she is missing something. Jesus is in her house, and that should already testify to how much he values and he accepts her. Let's go on to the last point. How is it resolved? Verse 42 says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion. The audience of that time, the Jewish audience or the Jewish Christians, they would know their Bible well. And this would ring and remind them of Psalms 16:5, where it says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. You see, Mary finds security, acceptance, value, and satisfaction in the Lord. And isn't Scripture offering the same thing to you today? You don't have to find acceptance in being busy. You don't have to find your value in overachieving. You don't have to look for satisfaction and security in something that is fleeting. Numerous studies have shown that children thrive, meaning they work hard, do well in life, when they know and when they believe they are accepted and loved. Let me say that again. Numerous studies have shown that children thrive when they know and believe they are accepted and loved. Here's the interesting thing about that. I would argue most children are loved, right? Parents love their children. But it's not only the parents loving their children. They thrive when they know it, and they actually start to believe that is when they thrive. What about if I told you, you are perfectly accepted, valued, and loved by God? And you didn't have to do a thing to accept it, except for realizing you need something more than yourself to save you. That I would tell you, all you would have to do is turn away from the things that you put your trust in now, and you would start to put it in Jesus. You know, one of the things I love about getting older, I know, everybody gets older. One of the things I love, though, is, you know, as I get older, I love listening to my friends, my best friends, start to talk about their children. And there's something special when fathers, you know, my guy friends, when they start to talk about their sons and daughters, but especially, there's a link between fathers and sons, when they start to talk about their sons, there is so much pride, there's so much love that I hear. Have you ever noticed how God talks about Jesus? Every time God talks about Jesus, he says things like Mark 9:7. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Beloved son of God. And isn't that what Mary recognizes and she obeys? She listens to him? You know, Jesus was the perfectly accepted, valued, and loved son of God. He is. But Jesus trades that and he becomes rejected, devalued, hated as he hangs on the cross. No, I don't think we could ever understand the weight of that, the weight of the cross, that God would send his beloved son there so that he could welcome home all of his lost sons and daughters. You know, the series we've been going through last week was really talking about going after the lost sons, and God does that himself. Jesus dies but rises again, and because of all of this, we know now and we can be perfectly accepted, valued, and loved by God. That's the gospel. Romans 8:16 says this, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and of children, the heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." Amen. So what was Martha's problem? I think it laid in the root of feeling accepted and valued. She didn't realize that. Mary did. I think Jesus is highlighting for us today too, that we too can be accepted and valued and loved by God the Father. What's our application? This week, you can work hard if you want to. It's okay. Or you don't have to work hard. That's okay too. But I want you guys to think about this week, the gospel. Jesus was rejected so that we could fully be accepted. I want you guys to rest in that. I want you guys to really know that God offers full acceptance and love. All you have to do is turn away from trusting in other things and to place your faith in Jesus. And if you'd like to talk about that, I'd love to talk with you after the service. It doesn't matter who you are. May you thrive this week in knowing this truth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you how scripture is testifying a truth of who you are, God. You are the good Father. You are the Father who loves us so much. Father, I pray that this week that we would really spend some time and searching the motivations of our hearts to see why we are so consumed with busyness, and to see, God, that, Lord, that we don't need to find acceptance, we don't need to find value, we don't need to find satisfaction in anything else other than you, God. And once we know the truth and the weight of knowing, God, how much you value us, that you gave your son, your beloved son, to welcome home many lost sons and daughters, God, I pray that that truth would penetrate into our hearts. And Father, that we would thrive this week, that we would thrive in knowing, God, our identity as sons and daughters of the living God. So thank you, God. Father, we pray that you would receive all glory, that you would receive all honor, that, Lord, through this, God, that a little bit of ourselves would die and we would become lower, that we would think less of ourselves, and that, Lord, that your son, Jesus Christ, would be lifted higher, celebrated, and worshiped. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.